1 Peter 3. Starting at verse 1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So far the reading.
Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, here is something that I will remember for a long time. About 1 year ago, early one morning when I was listening to a Christian radio station, the radio announcers invited listeners to ring in and to tell about the best friendships they have ever had. It was then that a Christian lady, an elderly widow, rang in and said, "My husband passed away 2 years ago, and I so miss him. But I still remember how we used to hold hands in bed every night. Yes, before we fell asleep, we would lie face to face holding hands. He was my best friend and hero, and I was his best friend and darling princess. And," said she, "we were so in love, perhaps not more than we were when we first met 50 years ago, but we were definitely richer in love." Well, I found that absolutely sweet, indeed precious, and I found it the sign of a deep and time-surpassing friendship, especially seeing that this lady and her husband were both in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I asked myself, but why can all marriages not be like that one? Or why should such a deep friendship wait until the autumn of one's marriage and to the autumn of one's life on earth? Is it perhaps so that a married couple should first graduate from their stressful working lives, from paying off the mortgage, and from bringing up their children before they could enter in such an absolutely God-blessed and mature stage of marriage? Now, that may be true. However, may young and midlife couples never use their busyness as an excuse for not investing time and energy into their marriage. You ask, but what is expected of us? Well, in His gracious loving kindness, God has given us the words of our text, 1 Peter 3, the verses 1 through 7. And here is its theme. Here is its main message. Wives and husbands, do you say that you are Christian? Well, if so, then serve one another self-sacrificially and in Christ-like manner. Our text allows for us two easy-to-remember points. Wives and husbands. Now, we start with wives, but husbands, when you hear what God's Word says about wives, don't go, "I told you so," because the second point is about husbands. So we start with wives. My brother and sister, in the verses directly before our text, Peter has already commanded two groups of oppressed Christians to submit to their oppressors. First, Peter had told Christians with no social rights at all in the Roman Empire, we could call them non-citizens, he told them to submit to the emperor and to the emperor's governors. That was in verses 13 and 17 of the previous chapter. Secondly, he told Christian slaves to submit to their masters. And that was also in the previous chapter. So why did Peter urge these two groups of Christians to submit to their oppressors? Why did he give them such a tough message? Well, it was for the sake of the gospel. Yes, as Peter says, so that when your oppressors accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Indeed, that's what Peter told, firstly, the oppressed non-citizens, and secondly, the oppressed slaves. But now Peter tells a third oppressed group to submit. And that means he tells Christian wives, especially, yet not exclusively, Christian wives of unbelieving husbands. You see, in Peter's time, a wife was expected to profess the same religion as her husband. And here is how it worked. If the husband adopted the Christian faith, this wife had to do so too. However, if the wife became a Christian and her husband not yet, her husband would consider her to be unfaithful to him and to his pagan religion. And this would cause tension in the home. And so Peter counsels these Christian wives to submit to their unchristian husbands, even if their husbands make life miserable for them. Why? Well, again, because of the gospel. After all, is it not so that action speaks louder than words? Yes, as verse 1 says, if these Christian wives could, for the sake of the gospel, be kind and submissive to their husbands, so that their husbands could observe the chaste lives their wives live in reverence for Christ and for their husbands, then their husbands who did not want to believe the word might be won over for Christ by their wives' behavior. Would it be easy for those wives? No. But for the gospel's sake, and to try and be an instrument in God's hands to save their husbands, Peter urges them to do just that. A question. Did Peter have only the Christian wives of unbelieving husbands in mind when he wrote verse 1? Well, that cannot be. For also the Apostle Paul gave the same instruction to Christian wives in Ephesians 5. Yet Paul gave another reason why Christian wives should submit to their husbands. Paul says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, of which he is the Savior." So Paul says, "Wives, submit to your husbands, for the husband is the head of the wife." But we should note, the Apostle Paul does not say the husband is the boss of the wife. And that's another sermon. That's from Ephesians 5. And even in our text, the verses 5 and 6, Peter reminds Christian wives how believing wives of the past, like for example Sarah, submitted to their believing husbands. And so, God desires Christian wives to, for the sake of the gospel, submit to their husbands, whether the husband is an unbeliever or not. That's a timeless truth for the Christian wife. Now, whilst it is a timeless truth that the Christian wives should submit to their own husbands, it is not a timeless truth that a Christian wife should call her husband, as Sarah did, Lord or Master. After all, if a woman in our culture would call her husband Lord or Master, she would become the laughing stock of the town. And she might even cause the spreading of the gospel to suffer unnecessarily. So, dear sisters of Hastings, I reckon your respect for your husbands will still show if you call them darling or honey or hubby or hub. Next, in verse 6, Peter tells the wives of his churches a beautiful thing. He says, "And if you have become Sarah's children, and you have become Sarah's children, if you do what is right without being frightened by fear." Sarah's children. Question. In what way did the wives in Peter's churches become children or daughters of Sarah? Well, in the same way as all Christians became and are called children of Abraham. Yes, so are all Christian women called daughters of Sarah, of Abraham's wife. That means they're called believers. Well, so far regarding the Christian wife's conduct. But how about her appearance? Well, in verses 3 and 4, Peter contrasts external beauty with internal beauty. And Peter warned against, in those days, braided hair, gold jewelry, and fine clothes. And even the Apostle Paul says the same in 1 Timothy 2. "Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair." Again, the braided hair thing. "And gold or pearls or costly garments." Were the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul then totally against women dressing beautifully? No. They simply wanted Christian wives to put the emphasis on internal beauty. External beauty should be regarded as a secondary matter to inner or personal beauty. And so our text wants Christian wives not to adorn themselves so as to attract undue attention. And it seems that what attracted attention in those days, braided hair, etc., may not be exactly the same as what attracts attention in our day and in our culture. So I trust that the Christian women of our time, also the sisters of this church, will have the discernment to know what attracts undue attention and what not. The point is that the Christian wife is the one who, in reverence for Christ and in reverence for her husband, respect for her husband, dresses in such a way that she does not attract undue attention, but focuses on inner beauty. Yes, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Again, the intention is that the Christian wife will be someone who can bring an unbelieving husband to seeing God's grace and goodness by the correct emphasis she puts on her appearance. And then, quite significantly, the word for gentle, which Peter uses here for the Christian wife, appears only 4 times altogether in all of the New Testament, 2 of which when our Lord Jesus used this word to describe himself. And so Peter exhorts wives to display the same gentle spirit which Jesus had during his earthly ministry. And it's not until she has a personal and living relationship with Jesus Christ that she will have that true, gentle, meek, self-sacrificial, and submitting spirit. What about a quiet spirit? Well, a quiet spirit is a spirit that is not bad-tempered or argumentative. And having said that, we are not saying that a Christian wife should be weak and dull or stupid. After all, gentleness or meekness is not weakness. We saw that in our Lord Jesus. We saw that in Moses as well, who was the weakest man on earth in his time. Meekness is not weakness. And quietness is not the same as dullness or stupidity. While we have just now looked at 6 verses, 6 of the 7 verses of our text, by which Peter exhorts Christian wives to submit to their own husbands, not to all men, submit to their own husbands. Yes, we should note Peter adds the word own. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands. So Peter confines this discussion to the family unit. He does not say, women, submit to all men. I mean, just think about it. How would Jacinda Ardern or Helen Clark be able to submit to me? Submission. Here is an important question. Would it be okay for a husband to demand submission from his wife? No. I love the answer an evangelical scholar has given. He says, I believe in a wife submitting to her husband, but I don't believe the husband ever has the right to demand it. Husbands, I agree with this, for here is the best scenario ever. That your wife becomes so moved by your love and by your kindness for her that she spontaneously bursts out in submission to and in respect for you. And indeed, our text exhorts Christian wives to submit to their husbands, unbelieving or believing husbands. But boy, how hard does a husband make it for his wife if he is not worthy of respect or submission. So here is the crunch of the matter. If a husband is so focused on the fact that his wife should submit to him, yes, up to the point that she becomes nervous about it, then how will their marriage ever be on God's terms? But rather, let him love her as Christ loves the church, and she will be moved. She will be stirred to willingly submit to him, to respect him. And here is a true word. When the Christian wife is seeking to love her husband with her whole being, and the husband is seeking to love his wife with his whole being, the issue of submission never, ever comes up. It will be there automatically. Well, so far regarding the very long point one, wives. Here is point two, husbands. To Christian husbands, Peter in the Holy Spirit gives two commands. Here, just one verse, two commands. Live with your wives in an understanding way. And secondly, show her honor. So firstly, live with your wives in an understanding way, as the NASB says, the NIV says, be considerate as you live with your wives. That means that as husband and wife are living together, he will be neither demanding nor selfish in his marital relations. Rather, he will be considerate, he will be sensitive to her needs, and he will be serving. Question. Husbands, what else does this say but that you and I will do what verse 1 has told Christian wives to do? Submit. Yes, that the Christian husband will submit to the needs of his wife. Although Peter does not say, husbands, submit to your wives. Who's doing the most submitting? Wives or husbands? I tend to lean over to husbands will be doing a great deal of submitting. Why? Our text says, because as woman, she is weaker. What does that mean? Well, it means that in general, that ordinarily, women are physically weaker than men. Look, it's not the fact that men and women compete separately in sport. Is that not proof of this fact? You ask, but what does her weaker physical build have to do with the command that he should love her and be considerate and be in an understanding way with her? Well, because if he does not behave in a Christ-like manner to her, yes, if he does not self-sacrificially love her and live considerately with her, but instead he is self-serving, thinking only of number one, he could at least physically overpower her and harm her, not to mention the mental scars he could leave her with. In this regard, allow me to mention a few horrible statistics from more than 20 years ago already, then in the USA, when there were in the USA alone more than 60,000 cases of rape a year, and those were only the ones reported. Between 3 to 6 million women per year who were victims of some form of violence in their home. Thirdly, in addition, it is women or the elderly who are the favorite targets of robbery and assault. And fourthly, In each of these sinful and horrible acts, the prominent issue was a violent act by a man who took advantage of the fact that he is physically stronger than a woman. Now, one could list more and more statistics, but I think we get the picture. And the truth is, angry men at home may hold the greatest threat to our society, regardless of how they appear in the public domain. See why verse 7 says, "Live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman." Another question. Are Christian homes free of family violence? I wish it were, but sadly it's not. Not all Christian homes see Christ-like behavior. And that's sad, because of two reasons. Because of those who suffer in silence, firstly. And secondly, because of the damage it does to the gospel message when children at home see how actions of parents, of fathers, don't match professions of faith. So allow me, on the strength of verse 7, to already now say to the young men and even to the boys in the church, yes, boys, I'm talking to you. Now, even long before you are married, boys, young men, husbands, don't you ever lift up your hand against a girl, a woman, or one day against your wife. Not even in times when there's financial hardship and arguing, and the most ugly words fly around. And this command also includes verbal bullying. Bullying with your words, with your body language, and your attitude. Instead, if you say you love Jesus Christ and you have a personal relationship with Him, then, as verse 7 says, live with your wife in an understanding way, in a considerate way, in which you submit your mind, your heart, and actions to her needs and to her energy levels. Well, be considerate as you live with your wives. That's the first command that verse 7 gives. Here's the second command it gives. Show her honor, says the NASB. The NIV says, treat her with respect. Yes, elsewhere God's word says, wives should respect their husbands. But it does not mean husbands should not respect their wives. Here it says it, treat her with respect. Why? Because as verse 7 intimates, before God, she is your equal. Yes, she is fellow heir, says verse 7, of the grace of eternal life. That is, just as you, insofar as you really have been born again, will inherit heaven, so too will your Christian wife inherit heaven. See? Although God has given husband and wife different roles on earth, yet before God, they are equal. And the Christian husband and wife are co-heirs of the gracious gift of eternal life. Paul says to the Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Dear men, the husband who is considerate, yes, the one who honors his wife, yes, the one his wife so badly wants, what does he look like in practice? Well, He is not the one who struts around thinking that what a woman wants is a strong man, a 6-foot hulk of a man, a financially successful man who drives fancy cars and wears flashy suits. Yet, when he comes home and the door shuts behind him, all those fancy things disappear into a mist. That's not the considerate husband. Instead, here is the husband to whom the wife responds well. The one who showers all of his attention on her all of the time. Not just when he wants something. The one who calls her during the day. The one for whom she is his best friend. His number one. Then she also wants him to be respectable and worthy of honor. Not powerful at work and weak at home. Not famous in the public square, but unauthoritative at home. After all, a wife knows. I mean, think a bit about this. A wife may be the only one who knows what her husband is really like, because there's no pretense inside the home. She wants a man who lives a life with personal integrity in such a manner that he is justly famous in the living room as well as at work. Live with your wives in an understanding or considerate manner and show her honor. Why? Well, is it not true that if the husband does not live with his wife considerately, and he hardly respects her, he will surely find that he is unable to pray with her? That's if he is honest. The same when a wife refuses to accept her husband's authority. My brother and sister, God does not accept prayers which husband and wife offer in an atmosphere of strife and ongoing disputation. Yes, and this is for the same reason that our Lord Jesus once said, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. My brother and sister, married and those who are not yet married, do we want to have such friendship in marriage as that elderly widow had when her husband was still alive? Time is short. I'm 66, nearly 67. God is giving me and Annette a wonderful stage in our marriage. Wish we had it all the time. Time is short. So why will we not actively invest time and effort in our marriages? Take time out. Do something together. She, by willingly, for the sake of the gospel, submitting to him in her conduct and appearance, and he by willingly and for the sake of the gospel submitting to her by being considerate and understanding of her needs and by honoring and respecting her. God give us strength. Amen.